this ain't gonna work at all. Nah. I had to. Jeremiah got sick this week, and it turned out he had allergies real bad. He'd ran his fever, so we knew Sarah wasn't gonna. Oh, by the way, Sarah got a promotion this week. Already, she is now the assistant director, which was what she really originally wanted, but they gave it to somebody else. Well, she's the assistant director now. But anyway, Sarah couldn't take Jeremiah to school because of him running that fever, so I had to run Robin over there so she could take care of Jeremiah. And it was just allergies. He was fine after that. But anyway, coming home the next day, I stopped off at Southside Meat Market there in Elgin to get some brisket. I ordered some. I got me some brisket, and I said I pulled up to the drive-thru, and I hear this muffle. Can I help you? I'd like a pound of sliced brisket. You want pickles and onions with that? No, I just need a pound of sliced brisket. And then she said something. I never heard a word she said. I got up there, and she's got her mask on, and she says, "That'll be $7.49." I said, "How much?" And she said, $7.49. I said, "Ma'am, I ordered a pound of brisket." "Oh, okay." You know, and you can't hear nothing with these things on. And you can't, if you wear glasses, you can't see nothing either. But there it is. Something, and it's changed. Oh, by my sermon this morning, I didn't know what else to call it. So it's What Has Changed Part 2, a continuation of last week. But it seems like every week something different's going on. A change. There's a change that's taking place in some area of our life, and we're having to adjust to it. And but listen, folks, if you read the scripture, he warned us of days like what we're seeing today. We know what we did. We didn't know to what extent until we're there. But we know there's going to be days of trouble. We know that there's going to be things happen that we may not understand. And that's where we're at today. The things, and let's go back to the scripture, Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at Apostle Paul. We read what Paul wrote to Timothy a while ago. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to we'll begin reading verse number 17. Now, what has happened in this chapter here, he was in, I can't remember which town it was. He was in a town preaching. And he was in, they were in the temple. And it said that in the temple, there, high up in the third loft, they had these lights there. What they were was opening for the light to shine, the sun to shine in, and they could see. Well, it said Paul was a long time preaching. He started preaching, Brother Andy, what we talked about a while ago. He was started preaching that morning, but he long time preaching. It said at midnight, and we're worried about Brother Larry getting carried on and getting us having to have a pillow and a sack lunch to take a nap. And Paul was preaching until midnight. But there was this young guy named, let me get his name straight, Eutychus. His name was Eutychus, and Eutychus had been up there. He got in one of those loft, those holes up there, and somehow he got up there and was sitting there and just been there listening to Paul preach all day and into the night. And guess what happened? He fell asleep. He sunk down. So far, and then he fell out. He fell from the third loft up, fell three stories down. Boom! Graveyard dead. Paul jumped down and said, "Wait a minute, he ain't dead yet." They went over there and Paul laid hands on him. And sure enough, he stood back up again. And Paul kept right on going. But that's what happened in the first part of this chapter. Now, we get down to verse 17, because he's going to take a trip. What Paul is wanting to do is get back to Jerusalem for the Pentecost, for the Passover. The Passover. In verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Now notice, remember now, something, there's fixing to be a big change in Paul's life. "And he called the elders of the church, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me, but none of these things move me." What things? Those bonds and afflictions, they didn't move Paul. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." Things are going to change drastically in Paul's life. In chapter 21, he is going to be taken prisoner and bound as a prisoner for the rest of his life. And twice in chapter 21, somebody came to Paul and told him that you're going to be bound and taken prisoner in Jerusalem. There was a man came to him and got Paul's girdle, something clothing that he wore, and he wrapped his legs and his arms in that girdle and said, "Whoever owns this girdle is going to be arrested. You're going to go to jail." It was Paul's girdle. And everybody tried to convince Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. But he said he was not only willing to be arrested, but I'm willing to die in Jerusalem if necessary. And everybody said, well, there's nothing more we can say. The will of the Lord be done. He was going to be a prisoner for the rest of his life. And he would end up going to Rome. Remember what he said? "But none of these things move me, those bonds." He said, Save that the Holy Ghost witness every day, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. He was being more prophetic than what they thought. He will end up going to Rome. He will have some liberties with friends, but basically he is a prisoner and will go before Caesar. And in a few years, he will pen the scripture where it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. And where we were at in our reading. He said these words, "These things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Things were drastically changing in Paul's life. We see things drastically changing here in our lives. In these last few months, things have drastically changed for us. But folks, listen, there are some things that don't change. I said last week that God's word is the same that it always has been and the same that it always will be. God has not changed. His word has not changed. And Paul's manner of life in which he lived didn't change. Yes, he would end up in prison, would be there for the rest of his life. But the way he lived his life and the way he conducted his life before other people, that didn't change. He stayed the same. He saw the light of, and his life drastically, by the way, Paul's manner of life from the day that he saw the light of Jesus on that Damascus road was the same. It never changed. The bonds didn't change him. Stripes that he endured didn't change him. The shackles that they put on him didn't change him. The ship being shipwrecked didn't change him. Being snake bit didn't change him. That was nothing. There was nothing that could change him. Paul was determined that what Jesus started in his life on that Damascus road, Jesus was going to finish, even if it meant getting his head cut off, which happened. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. Something else that Paul penned. We all know about Romans chapter 8. Even through this pandemic, we haven't forgotten Romans chapter 8. But notice what he said. Verse 38. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Listen, what Paul was saying, there's nothing on the face of this earth, there's nothing in the deepest sea, there's nothing in heaven above, there's nothing in hell below that can take God's love away from us. And because of that, Paul was determined he was going to be the man that God called him to be. And so he was going to stay the same. And he was going to stay the course. Paul was determined that I'm not changing. And neither should we. First thing I want you to see is that the right message of the gospel is always the same. Look back at Acts chapter 20. The right gospel, the right message of the gospel will always be the same. Look at verse 20. He said, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Every time Paul gave his testimony about what took place on the Damascus Road, it had to do with Jesus being there, shining that light around him, and him saying, "What would you have me to do, Lord? That was his testimony. What did Paul do in his life before that? He was on the way to Damascus, and he had the papers in hand, kind of like arrest warrants. He was going to Damascus. They were going to arrest some folks that were Christians, and they were going to put them on trial for being a Christian. That was his manner of life before he saw the light on Damascus Road. He stood there as men stoned the deacon Stephen there. He held their coats, it says, as they stoned Stephen to death, and he consented to it. If Paul was guilty of anything, he was guilty of taking the lives of God's people. He was determined that's what he was going to do if necessary. But you know, after he saw Jesus on the Damascus Road, he began to preach the gospel with the same fervor and even more so than the fervor that he had to go out and get and kept and take Christians and kill them. That was his manner of life. His message was Jesus Christ. You see, Paul, we know that in Paul's life, he had a thorn in the flesh. Most people believe that that thorn in the flesh was his eyesight. And he talked about some folks, even if they could, they would give him their eyes if they could, so he could see. I think what happened was when they stoned Paul, and he was stoned several times, but one time in particular, they stoned him and they drug him out the city and left him for dead. And I believe he died. And he talks about going up to the third heaven, and I believe that's when he did. He went up to the third heaven. But I believe he lost his eyesight when they stoned him that day. Or he could not see very well after that. Yeah, I need glasses. Some of you else in here need glasses. I saw Brother Robert earlier. He is holding that Bible up real close. That's kind of like what Paul was, brother. He couldn't hardly see. But see, Paul didn't have the benefit of glasses like we do. But Paul couldn't see. But he had 20/20 vision. Acts 20:20. What did he say? It's Acts 20:20 and 21. His vision was this: how I showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That was Paul's vision, was to get the gospel to as many people as he could. And that should be the vision of the church today. Notice he said Jews and Greeks. He didn't discriminate the gospel from one group of people to another. He took it to everybody. Anybody that would listen, he would take. And by the way, he told it to people that didn't even want to hear it either. He told it anyway. That was Paul's. That was the right message of Paul. And it stayed the same throughout his entire life. Number two, evil men against the gospel will act just the same. Look at verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock which, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. Evil men are not going to change. We're seeing it more and more so in our day in which we live, attack on the church. And what we do. A few years ago in Houston, some preachers over there got letters that you're going to turn your sermons in before you preach them. We're going to make sure you're not saying anything against the LB. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. you're not going to say anything against it. There was an uproar about it, and praise God, they fought back, and they won. Listen, folks, we got to fight back. Even today, some places are being told, especially in California, there's no more singing at church. That's an essential part of worship, folks. There's not going to be no more crowds more than 10 people at church. We're going to write you tickets, even if you show up and have services outside in your car. We're going to go by and write everybody a ticket for being in, for having a gathering. That's what's going on today. Thank God it hadn't happened here, but it's happening elsewhere. Why? Because evil men and seducers are rising up. Remember, I read the verse. We read it last week. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We're seeing it every day now. They're just trying to stop the gospel. Folks, I thank God for the preacher that we've got. He's guarding his flock. There have been some people that were here that are no longer here because they were asked to leave. Why? Because he's guarding the flock. Thank God for a preacher that will. Well, Brother Gary, don't we need to minister to everybody? Yes, we need to minister. But when you minister to some folks and they don't want to listen, when they come to the preacher and they ask for advice and they don't want to follow the advice, and they keep doing the same things over and over and over again, there comes a point where you got to say, I got to protect the rest of the flock. Because listen, that barrel of meal, you put a little leaven in that barrel, what happens to it? It affects the whole barrel. And you let a little leaven in, it would end up affecting the rest of us. And then some people would end up leaving. Well, what? Why are you letting that? Why in the world? That couple there, well, they're just living together. They're not married. And they're members of the church. Brother Larry guards this flock. I'm going to say something here. I'm not going to tell you why he asked me to leave for a while. Several years ago. Because I wouldn't listen. He was guarding the flock. Thank God for a preacher that guards the flock. By the way, thank God for a preacher that loves me. The method of the gospel is still the same. Verse 21, the method. Verse 20, he said, from house to house. What do you mean by that? I taught you publicly and from house to house. You want to know what Paul did? He got out of every town he went to. He would spend weeks there. He would go to the synagogue on the first day of the week, or maybe he even went on Saturday to preach. Well, what do you do the rest of the week, Brother Gary? I can tell you what he did. He wanted to get a crowd there, so here's what he did. He went out in the streets of the town. He went to the people that were sitting on the streets. He went to their houses, house to house. Hey, I'm going to be preaching this Saturday and probably Sunday also, so once you come here, I'd love you here to come preach the gospel about Jesus. By the way, do you know for sure if you die today, you're going to heaven? And he's going from house to house, taking the gospel to the people. But folks, listen, that's what the church is supposed to be doing. Door to door. Telling everybody. The message of the gospel, that message of the gospel is always the same. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We sang that song a while ago. God's not God's not dead. Is that what song we sang a while ago? He's surely alive. We believe. What did it say? We believe in the God the Father. We believe in God the Son, Jesus Christ. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe that he resurrected. We believe. That's what we believe, and folks, that's what we're supposed to be telling. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians tells us what the gospel is. For I testify. Oh, I got to find it right quick. Give me a few. I got to hurry because we're going to. Somebody's going to be pulling their pillow out here in a minute if I'm not careful. Preparing us for next week. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Where? Oh, come on. Lord, I need some help. Yeah. I can't find it. Maybe it's over here. Chapter 2. Here it is. Nope, that's not it. He talks about the gospel, what the gospel is, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul talked about. And that's what we're to be telling people. That's what we need to get to people, is that gospel. It's the same. We need to meet people where they are with the gospel. Number 4, the movement of the gospel will always be the same. Look at, back at our text, chapter 20, verse 22. And I'm almost done, so we'll be all right. Verse 22. He said, now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing of the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. What did he say there? I go bound in the Spirit. That message of the gospel that we are going to tell, we've got to have the Holy Spirit's presence. We've got to have the Holy Spirit's power in order to tell that message. Because, you see, folks, those are just words coming out of our mouth. But when the Holy Spirit gets involved, they become alive. Paul was bound by the Holy Spirit. Everything Paul spoke from his mouth was alive. He was bound in the Spirit. Not, he said those words, not realizing what he was saying about what he was going to take place with those bonds and afflictions that were going to be on him. But Paul had the Holy Spirit's presence. He had the Holy Spirit's power on his life, and that's how he got the gospel out, and that's how Paul was so successful as a preacher. By the way, remember what he said earlier in our text? That he said, I have not shunned to preach the gospel. Everywhere I went, the blood of no man is on my hands, because to everybody I came in contact with, I gave him the gospel. And what did God do with Paul? He got arrested. But because he was arrested, God used Paul to speak to kings and queens and princes and governors and all these big, high-fluting people that he got to speak to and tell them the gospel. God used Paul in their life. Caesar heard the gospel from Paul. Agrippa heard the gospel from Paul. And you could go, the list goes on, wherever he went, they heard the gospel. Paul was going to tell them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's presence was on him. And folks, here we are. Nearly more than 2,000 years ago from when Paul lived and walked on the face of this earth. That same presence that was on Paul and that same presence that used Paul can do the same with us today. Because the Holy Spirit hasn't changed. The message hasn't changed. And by the way, God still does His work through His people. By the way, if we don't take the gospel to the people, there's nobody else to take it to them. Because God's people have got to do it, or they're not going to hear the gospel. It's got to be done God's way. God's presence, and God's power. And here's what God wants to do with us. He wants every one of us in this room to have the Holy Spirit's presence on us just like it was on Paul. That's how we become successful as a Christian and being used by God in doing His. By the way, everybody, God has a will for everybody in this room. He has something for everybody to do specifically. But there's one will that's His will is for every one of us in this room to do, and that's to be a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's never changed. That's what He wants to do with us as a church and as an individual. He wants to use us. Our prayers today should be, is that God, would You use me like You used Paul? God, would You put the Holy Spirit's presence on me like You did Paul? Would You use my voice with the Holy Spirit's power like You did Paul? Folks, when we come to that place where that's our heart's desire, it'll change our life. There was a young boy told a preacher, this is back in horse and buggy days, he told that old preacher, said, I want God's power on my life. And that preacher took that little boy over to a horse trough, and he grabbed him, and he pushed him down in that horse trough and held him down there. And he's slinging his arms around, trying to get a breath of air. And then that preacher pulled him up. And the boy said, what'd you do that for? You said you want God's power in your life. Do you want God's power in your life? And he said, yes, I do. He shoved him back down in that water. And they held him down there. And he's water splashing everywhere. He's gasping and water going everywhere. Hands and feet flying. Preacher pulls him up. And he says, and they said, what'd you do that for? You trying to drown me or something? He said, did you say you wanted God's power in your life? Yeah, but I don't want to drown. Well, until you come to the place where you desire the Holy Spirit's presence on your life as much as you desired that air to breathe, that's when God will give it to you. That's where we need to come to in our life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for men like Paul that is our example. We thank You, dear God, for the Holy Spirit's presence. Use us, dear God. I pray, dear God, that we'll all come to the place where we have to have Your presence. We'll beg You for Your presence. And we'll do whatever it takes to get Your presence on our life, so that You would be glorified and the lost will be saved. We're running out of time, dear God. We're running out of time. Do something here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name.